This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
To mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leading toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back up. And when I fall down,
this is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome everyone. I am Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce a new way of thinking, but most importantly, to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. Thank you to Dano and Beck this afternoon for some great music and chatter. Beck is normally our Thursday night news reader. She was sitting in the Mason chair tonight, and to Richard for reading the news for us this evening as well. So on Stand Up Straight, I've also got Clayton across the desk here who's
giving
me daggers. And Clayton and I are going to share the microphone with our guest, who I'm going to introduce in a minute.
You're going to share with me?
I'm going to share.
That's
nice. We might let you have a little bit of a chatter. The ladies are off tonight gallivanting around town, changing the world, I think.
Yeah, one of them's having sex ed.
Where are you going with this?
I know. There was a bit of an incorrectly placed pause.
Intentional.
For a sex ed teacher, I'm skeptical of your antics now.
Oh, for those people, they might know that voice. On Stand Up Straight, we've got a really, really broad variety of guests. And Charlie Cooper of Headspace is one of our most popular, energetic and inspirational young people. And he brings a huge smile, which he's wearing right now, and lots of education and endless positivity. So welcome, Charlie Cooper from Headspace.
So lovely. It's getting nicer each time. Thank you so much. It was so lovely to be back here. It's always so uplifting to walk through those doors.
Well, it's really, for those that have not seen Charlie, have a look at some of the photos that we've got on our Facebook. And I don't know if he ever has a smile off his... Do you ever have a smile off your face?
Oh, you see me at the good times, Michelle. It's when I'm with you that I'm feeling really good about life. No, of course I do. But it's, you know, the conversations that we have here are the things that make me really excited, and to be surrounded by positive energies as well and people who are really supportive and inclusive, it makes me really happy. So,
well, I'm going to talk about this throughout the show tonight, but got a number of milestones and huge events and things coming up, you know, toward the end of the year. But I just, for those people that don't know, give us a little bit of an overall kind of idea of what Headspace is. And they've just had 10-year anniversary late last year, wasn't it?
That's it.
So tell us a bit about Headspace.
Yeah, cool. So Headspace is the National Youth Mental Health Foundation. Headspace provides free early intervention, youth mental health and wellbeing support to young people aged 12 to 25. So many people don't know, and myself included, before I got involved with Headspace, don't realise that Headspace provides free services. You can walk in the door. There are 101 centres as of a couple of weeks ago. Wow. 101 101 centres around Australia. And, yeah, young people can call up, make an appointment and access inclusive, youth-friendly mental health services. So you don't need to have a referral. You can come in without having seen a GP. And, yeah, it's not just mental health, it's also physical health. You can come in and see a GP. You can get a sexual health checkup. They also provide support for young people with drug and alcohol issues or young people struggling to find home or work. So, yeah, I'm very passionate about how important awareness of the service is, because when I was facing my own mental health struggles, I didn't realise there was a centre a kilometre down the road, and I struggled for about 2 years. So, yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about the importance of awareness, and we're lucky to live in a country where we can access free services like this.
Is that, does that surprise people that they don't have to get a referral? They can just, you know, basically walk in the door and there's, you know, open arms and happy face and someone that welcomes them?
Yeah,
non-judgmentally,
absolutely.
Non-judgmentally, of course, as well.
Because often when you open up about having a mental health difficulty, the feedback you get is, oh, you know, the first point of call is to go to your GP, and that's quite a confronting experience. And it's, I don't know, for me, Headspace is, it does reduce the barrier in that sense. And the fact that there's also an online support service, so Headspace also has eHeadspace, which is an anonymous online telephone and web chat counselling service where young people can log in from home and access support.
Do you think that's the key for younger people that perhaps are either they've not discussed mental health issues with anyone, or there's shame, or they're embarrassed, or, you know, maybe they've got an eating disorder and they don't know how to approach it, or they've got some kind of, and they don't, if they have no one to talk to, maybe they don't have the courage to walk through a Headspace door. So do you have any kind of stats or any information about how many people are logging in or contacting online or anything like that?
So I know that 260,000 young people have sought help through Headspace centres, and as many as 25% of that. So when you look at centres individually, many of the centres will report that 25% of those people identify as LGBTI, and that number is continuing to rise.
Is that because, or is it a combination of people are more open about talking about things? So is it, they say, you know, is it the chicken or the egg? But is it a combination of that, do you think?
It's really hard to say, but what is interesting is that where I live in Hawthorne, Headspace Hawthorne has, 25% of the young people presenting there identify as LGBTI, whereas in many rural areas it's a lot lower. So that might suggest, for example, that it does come down to the shame and stigma and discrimination, because we know that it is a lot harder in rural areas, and that's why I think eHeadspace and online platforms, which I'll talk about soon, we've just released or launched a new LGBTI-specific peer support service. We'll talk about that later. But that's why I think online options are so important, because it does spread the support to young people living remotely and in rural areas.
And in their time. So exactly. It could be 3 a.m. and they can't sleep. They can go and find a support somewhere.
It's actually open
somehow,
till 1 a.m. So not 3.
Okay, so
not,
okay.
but there are other options as well. So
yeah. We're going to go for a break. And when we come back, I would love for you to tell us about the Q Headspace, because that's the newest and probably the most exciting.
Q Headspace has come out.
And of course, if you have any messages for Charlie and or for us, 0427-JOY-949 is the SMS. You can call the lovely Mushin with his sexy voice on 1300-JOY-949.
They can call now.
And yes, because we have a Mushin. Or you can on air at joy.org.au.
Please call.
And Charlie will answer the questions he can. The ones he can't, he'll find out an answer for. We are chatting with Charlie Cooper from Headspace. You're on Stand Up Straight.
Took and it slipped off the hook right before my eyes. You beat me to the punch. Like a thief in the night, should have put up a fight, but I thought time was on my side. You beat me to the punch. I was getting ahead of myself, one hand on the prize at the finish line. I thought I'd done enough. I was ready to move, but now I gotta press rewind. You beat me to the punch.
day, I might have known it was easy. Took and I slipped on the hook right before my eyes. You beat me to the punch. Like a thief in the night, should have put up a fight, but I thought time was on my side. You beat me to the punch. I was getting ahead of myself, one hand on the prize at the finish line. I thought I'd done enough, oh no. Tell me how could I lose, I was ready to move. I gotta press rewind. Beat me to the punch. I let it all go. I've only got myself to blame. Another day, I might have known it was easy.
Beautiful Karen Fields. I love that. She was great live in the studio, wasn't she?
She was indeed. Yes. That was my first live music in the studio experience.
It's actually a bit of a thrill because it's very intimate. The studio's not very big. It's really, really lovely.
Absolutely.
I do have a bit of a bone to pick with Charlie Cooper from Headspace. Was apparently on some rival radio station giving me a run for my money. I do have to say, this was, you were... on Hack, which is one of the most extraordinary half hours of radio outside of Joy, which is on Triple J. And you were on that show. Tell us why.
Well, I wasn't actually invited. You made that sound very important.
I did. Yeah.
But basically I got into the car a couple of weeks ago. This is actually 5 weeks ago now. And I turned on Hack. I love listening to Hack. I think it's a really cool youth-focused current affairs program. Mm. And in the first sentence listening, I heard Cooper's Brewery, Marriage Equality, and the Bible Society. And
did you drive off the road?
I pulled over. I am a Cooper, and I am actually a distant relative of the brewery as well.
Wow.
And I have one share, so I am a shareholder. So I should have a say in this. And... I'm also a very passionate youth mental health advocate, and a lot of that comes down to advocating for youth mental health within the queer community. And so I felt like it was my time to shine, and I was so nervous, and I Googled the number and I was like, oh my God, am I going to talk to Tom Tilley? Anyway, he wasn't actually in that day, but I spoke to one of their other reporters and they said, what do you want to say? And I said, my name's Charlie Cooper. I'm actually... a descendant of the Cooper family, and I want to join the conversation. I'm a youth mental health advocate. And they said, cool, hold on.
And we're going to have a listen to that.
Hey, Charlie Cooper from Melbourne. You're both a youth mental health advocate and also a descendant of the Coopers family. How do you feel about this?
Exactly right. Look, I was pretty shattered when the news came out. So I'm the great-great-great-grandson of the gentleman who started Coopers. So I'm also a shareholder, so I feel very invested in this debate. I'm also a youth mental health advocate, and I'm especially passionate about advocating for young queer Aussies. I felt very frustrated listening to that gentleman before, because I think we need to think about the impact that these conversations are having on our queer youth. The number of young people, so I'm an advocate at Headspace, 25% of the young people coming into my Headspace Centre identify as LGBTI. And this conversation is having a serious impact on the mental health and well-being of young people. And I think it's also really important to note that I genuinely believe that Coopers did not intend to send the message out to our country that they didn't support marriage equality. I think that was a big mistake on their part, but they definitely did send that message. And that message is harmful. And I think it is really impressive of them that they've stood up and supported marriage equality. But actions are more powerful than words. So it'll be interesting to see if they can follow through with that.
Charlie Cooper of the famous Cooper family, thanks for speaking to us on Hack.
So just a little bit of a backstory. What was the backstory for those that weren't sure about the Cooper's Brewery, the saga, I suppose?
So for those who impossibly didn't see the breakdown on social media and the internet breaking altogether. Basically, the Cooper's Brewery teamed up with the Bible Society, which is a religious organisation, to celebrate 100 years of the Bible Society's existence. The Bible Society is an organisation which is very vocally anti-marriage equality. Basically what they did is they announced that they would be releasing, 10,000 cans with the Bible Society's logo and a number of religious quotes from the Bible. And so the queer community and our allies erupted massively all over social media and perceived that as the Cooper's Brewery saying that they don't support marriage equality. And within about 24 hours, there was about 20, high-profile bars and pubs across Melbourne which said, we will no longer sell Cooper's beer until they stand up in support of marriage equality. Dad and I actually sat down that night after hearing the news, and Dad is an incredible advocate who's been by my side through my journey, and Dad sat down and wrote to the CEO of Cooper's and said, this is appalling, this conversation is harmful to LGBTI young people, and you've got to stand up and take back what you said. So it was a full-on 2 days.
It's great that you did, and it's nice. I think what came through in that was that your passion for your beliefs, and that's really, really important. You've got the new project that's coming up, Q Headspace.
Yes.
Q stands for?
Queer or questioning.
Why do you promote it as queer and questioning?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, okay.
So the idea there is that you don't need to know it. You don't need to. There's so much pressure on young people to be sure of your sexuality or gender identity.
Yeah.
It's no one else's business unless you want it to be. So we really encourage young people who are exploring the issues of gender and sexuality to jump onto Q Headspace and have a chat to other young people who have a lived experience, many of them who are LGBTI, but many of them who are also allies, which I think is really cool. So Q Headspace is an online safe space where young LGBTI people can chat to trained peer support workers who also identify. And I should say LGBTIQ, because it also includes young people who are just questioning and want to have a chat to someone. So me and my boyfriend both feel so strongly that if we had had this when we were 15, 16, 17, it would have reduced so much anxiety and even depression. So just to know that you're not alone to reduce that isolation, it's huge.
Clayton, I don't know if you would be aware, and as a lot of people may or may not know, Clayton's a primary school teacher. Now, the year level you teach is grade six, so you're about 12 years old, give or take,
11,
roughly.
12, basically.
So in your experience, would you think that you're that kind of age would use this service if they knew how to or knew it was around? Do you hear much talk at school with any of your students or anything?
I definitely have students who have mental health issues and concerns, and I think that being able to access services, and we have some built into the school as well, but just be able to source them out to the right places to go. In terms around the gender and sexuality, I certainly have kids that are sort of saying little things to indicate their gender identity especially. And
so we're in the joy bubble and you're in an education bubble, I suppose, but for the general populace, is it changing terminology that is like that first key start, changing, using different words, not being as gender specific for us? Does that help?
Well, we've had safe schools come into my school and have a talk about those things, about using better language and avoiding saying, all the girls go get your bags or those sort of things.
Yeah, all the boys go get the trucks. Yeah.
So, and certainly certainly around gender expressions and things like that. And my class is actually really good. I've got these teddy bears hanging in my room that the kids can, hold on to during the day if they want to.
Yeah.
And a lot of the boys are happy to take the female orientated teddy bears, and it's all quite happy and
playful.
Do you
do if that sort of thing happens, do they get picked on or bullied by, you know, perhaps a bit of the... Not at all. In your class?
Not in my class. I couldn't say for other classrooms necessarily. Yeah. At my school in general, I would say no. In my classroom, definitely not. Everybody's quite comfortable.
So. It's interesting because you're obviously someone who understands the importance of inclusive environments and spaces and inclusive language and stuff like that. But I wonder what the older generation of teachers who may not have been exposed to this understanding or this education, I wonder if the experience for kids in their classes might be a little bit different.
I think definitely. And I think my class 10 years ago was different as well. But I've grown and changed. And I think also it's not necessarily the older teachers sometimes as well. Some of the younger teachers certainly need a few of those lessons.
Well, that's why these services are so important, but they don't get the... airplay, or they don't get the promotion perhaps that they should.
Yeah.
I think that would be the case. So how do you as Headspace promote that?
And see, that's one of the challenges at the moment is that in an ideal world, Q Headspace would be constantly available to young people. It wouldn't just be a group chat space. It would be an online portal where young people could log in and chat anonymously to a queer peer, as we call ourselves. But it all comes down to funding. So at the moment, what we're doing is we have piloted it. We've done it. We've run the first session. So that was a couple of weeks ago. And we opened the conversation up around gender and sexuality. Ask us anything. We got bombarded. There were 168 comments in the hour. Gosh. And it was the busiest group chat Headspace has ever hosted.
There were six...
Seven LGBTIQA plus young people responding to questions. And we also had Micah Scott from -18. So Micah was able to support us with, you know, referrals, pathways and...
See, I would imagine you would have to be at some... oftentimes that one-stop shop, you know, so you've got to have your resources at hand or know where you can direct people... nicely and gently, of course. So we're going to come back and have a little bit of a chat more with Charlie Cooper from Headspace. You're on Stand Up Straight.
Joy 94.9.
Don't give up, don't give up, don't give up.
We have Charlie Cooper from Headspace in the studio, Clayton and I, and getting to know about some of the other programs and facilities that Headspace have. So we've just been talking about Q Headspace. But if people want – Q Headspace is not a 24-hour thing. It's a, it's a service that's only available about 1 hour.
So it's a it's an online forum that's live once a month. The space can then be accessed again.
Oh, so they can go back. People can go back and read the comments and the discussion and so on.
Totally.
Yeah, so how can they do that?
So if they go to eheadspace.org.au and then go through the navigation page and click Get Help and Group Chats, and through there you'll be able to find the Q Headspace group chat exploring your sexuality and gender. And now I say this with frustration because – you know, this is a completely youth-led initiative. So myself and Sarah really campaigned for this to be something really big. And we're starting small, but we really hope that we can show the government and show our community that this is something that's really needed.
Because it's not highly funded, is it?
No, it's not funded at all at the moment.
Yeah.
So with some, yeah, with some really strong funding, I think it would be really beneficial if, for example, two nights a week there could be, you know, 5 p.m. till 1 a.m. young people could log in and chat anonymously. But at the moment, it's a group space, and we will be announcing in the next few days the next Q Headspace group chat hour, which will be in the next probably 3 or 4 weeks.
You mentioned Sarah. Sarah's been a guest on the show as well.
Now, my amazing friend Sarah.
There's an event coming in, I think, is it September? You may or may not be going somewhere with Sarah. Tell us a bit about what you'll be doing. Some tiny little event.
So Sarah and I found out this morning that we have been accepted to present, to give a presentation at the International Youth Mental Health Conference in Dublin in Ireland in September. So Sarah and I will be travelling to...
Are you nervous yet, or is that get happening?
Oh, my God. As I said that, I could just feel the sweats coming. But the reason that that is such a huge thing is because we will be able to advocate for not only Q Headspace as a service and for the need for more support, but we'll be able to speak to other nations and like leading mental health experts in other countries, and we'll be able to advocate for the queer community and the importance of online safe spaces. And something I didn't mention before as well is that when we do run the Q Headspace chats, we also have mental health clinicians shadowing the young people. So that's really important as well, because if young people come on and they need extra support, we can pass them over to eHeadspace.
This is a phenomenally, extremely well-organised organisation. Yeah. Grammar ain't my, you know, I should be corrected
your
by teacher.
Your grammar was fine.
The,
you just need to diversify your words a bit. So.
Thank you, teacher. Yeah. But this is not just a group of people sitting around in some little shop front. This is extremely well-resourced and well-trained people. And this is an ongoing process, isn't it? I mean, and it's not just some young people that have had some mental health issues that are just sitting at the end of the phone.
Exactly. And I think that's why it's really cool, is that when young people come in, they don't speak to young people with a lived experience. They speak to fully qualified mental health clinicians. But young people like me are really driving what's at the forefront of what Headspace is doing. So I think I mentioned it to you last time when I was in the studio, but I spoke at a youth mental health forum in Albury-Wodonga last year. And I spoke for about an hour and really only touched on coming out as gay for about 2 minutes of that conversation. And in the following Q&A session with all of the young people there from grade 8 to 12, I was bombarded with questions around gender and sexuality, and a lot of them were anonymous questions handed in, and I just felt so overwhelmed. And that was actually when we went, Sarah and I went to National Office, and we said Headspace has to do something. So...
What surprised you more, the types of questions, or was it the amount of questioning?
It was the just the fear. So a lot of those questions were handed in anonymously, and it was the fear of young people, the fear of non-acceptance and the fear of judgment and discrimination that was preventing young people simply talking. And I think it was so much bigger in Albury-Wodonga because it is in a rural area, and the stigma probably around mental health and being young and gay or gender diverse is probably a little bit stronger. I felt so much just frustration that young people there were experiencing so much distress around, you know, what something that shouldn't, it's just part of who you are. And once you're surrounded by people who accept you, you know, the evidence shows that the reason young people who identify as LGBTI experience mental health problems, it's not because they are LGBTI. It's because of the social stresses and the experiences of discrimination that come with that.
Mission Australia put us some figures out that were up to the end of 2016, I think, and for the first time ever, mental health was in the top three.
Yeah,
most people
so
aim
awesome.
And want to be in the top three of anything, but that's a disturbing in 15 years. It was the first time in 15 years.
It's disturbing in one way, but don't you think as well that it shows that young people so that says that young people have actually said, we care about this and this matters to us and this is affecting us. So it actually shows an awareness as well. And I would argue that the perception around mental health is really changing at the moment. Just out of curiosity, at school, do you hear young people as young as, you know, in grade six, would you ever hear them speaking? Would they come to you and seek support in terms of mental health? Would they actually have that literacy and, you know...
Sometimes definitely that literacy, but always that event. Like they're always mental health comes up every day in my classroom. I've got
really
easily and
in what ways?
I've got a, I can't talk. I have to talk fairly
specific,
generally.
Yeah, just general.
But a child might have just coming in the morning and just hating the day because we've got some PE this today. Mm. So I'm just going to hate the whole day because I don't like PE or I don't like maths or those sort of things. And I experience that
And they have
day.
That anxiety about what's going to happen for the day because of the fear that they have of something that may or may not happen.
On Monday, I had somebody I was talking to, one of my students, about she came to school with a stomachache. And I was, well, sweetie, do you think it might be a worry stomachache because you didn't have it yesterday? Mm. You just got it today, so you think you might be worried? And she goes, yeah, probably. And I walked in, do you know what you're worried about? And she was like, we went through it and I just went, I think you might be worried about worry. So, like, you're worried about things are going to go bad for you today. And I can understand that. So here's how we're going to work on that. So
we need to have all teachers in Australia like you, Clayton. That's so good.
Not quite that, but
can you imagine the pit of despair that these kids are in all over Australia and the world where they can't even have that conversation with the teacher?
Hopefully most teachers these days would be aware of that. I think what we need to have is more mental health first aid in schools in terms of that training. That course.
Mental health first aid.
Yeah, it's a training course you can do and it's about looking at those first aid things for mental health. And I'd love to see more teachers do that. So I've never done it, by the way.
Interesting you say that because Sarah and I just completed our instructor training in youth
fabulous.
Mental health first aid. So we're, rolling that out to youth advocates in the community at the moment. So I agree with you. I think it's the most important thing and I think all teachers should have it.
Mm. We talk about advocates for mental health. Prince William was huge in the media this week. Mm. And forgive me, I don't know how old he is, but he said that he opened up about his mental health issues after his mother passed away, and he said in 25 minutes he got more help than he had done in 25 years. 25 years of getting help for his mental health issues, and this is Prince William. So I don't know
with
how...
With Lady Gaga.
So it's quite extraordinary the reach... That, and I know people, fame and fortune and power and things, but, when people are using their life's experiences for the good, and cliche as that sounds, but all of a sudden someone thinks, God, a prince in England, he gets depressed.
Absolutely.
Lady Gaga, famous, wonderful singer, she gets depressed.
And Prince Harry was supporting the same cause and was talking about how proud he was of both his mother and his brother and himself and to talk about mental health issues, but also of the British people who are culturally very stoic and don't talk about these sort of things. And he feels that change and people slowly moving in Britain to actually say what they need to say.
Because I remember, we have to go for a break, I know, but I remember, and we're off topic, but the funeral for Princess Diana and... But all the five, her brother and her sons and Prince Charles, walking behind the coffin, not a tear. There was the solemn... And I don't know whether this is true in an urban myth, but I had read that the boys had been made to cry so much beforehand that it meant that they could be stoic and serious and put on the brave face. Can you imagine the implications... positive implications perhaps if they had cried and some other young boy felt it was okay to cry, we'll never know, but it's just, isn't it interesting how that word stoic comes up in those situations?
Lady Gaga, wrong person, Amy Winehouse said, you know, my tears dry on their own. And that's one of the worst things we can do for our mental health is to let our tears dry on their own.
Yeah. I think that mentality that, you know, particularly on men, that it's tough to take it on the chin and move on is so harmful, because when, you know, we need to understand that mental health problems are real treatable medical conditions. And if someone is to just try and push that down and to the shame that you can feel when you say to yourself, I should be able to get through this on my own. This is something I should be able to tackle. It's really, really harmful. So,
And just on that, if we're raising any issues and you need any help, there's Headspace, but there's also Lifeline, which is 13 11 14. So a service that is extraordinary and available 24/7.
I'm going to throw Switchboard in there as well for any queer-related issues. 1800 184 527.
You are listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy. Charlie Cooper is with us from Headspace, and he used a terminology before, and I thought was really interesting. You said that you and other people sometimes get referred to as LGBTI bullies.
Yeah.
It's probably self-explanatory, but what is it?
Do you know what? So when I called, we were just talking before about the Cooper's Brewery situation. So I called up Hack and had a chat to them, and as I was waiting, I was listening to the conversation, and I swear they strategically placed this man's interview before mine so that they could rev me up, but... This man called up and he said, I just don't get what these LGBTI bullies are on about. They have a civil union, you know, they have all of the rights that I have, you know, what are they on about? They need to back off and get off our backs. And I was getting so frustrated, because what comes to mind when I'm listening to that gentleman is I reflect on how isolated and how ashamed I felt when I was starting to think that I might be gay and that I really didn't want to be, because, you know, there was so much self-shame and self-stigma and, you know, fear of letting my family down. And for someone who's actually facing, you know, really struggling with their mental health because of their gender or identity or their sexuality, and then to hear someone say that it's trivial and that it doesn't matter is really, really hurtful. And that was really upsetting for me to hear that. So I really don't know what to say when people use the terminology LGBTI bullies, and I don't know.
Well, it's a cop-out, I would think. I kind of think it's an easy way to summarise everyone in a negative sense.
It's a defence mechanism. So they're basically just going, well, I can't really fully defend my position, so I'm going to use a term like this. So
It is. And I wish I could have had an actual conversation with that man, but, you know, that was it. He said what he said, and I said...
Do you think this sometimes, though, it's hard to decide what soapbox to stand on and what not to stand on?
Yeah,
You know, who you're talking to sometimes, sometimes I will shake my, and I think, I can't be bothered. I don't need this discussion. Am I ever going to get through? I don't know if it's defeatist.
This is more experience. I have no statistics or anything to help this out. But I think the best change comes through when you step off the soapbox and actually just talk to them one-on-one. And more so, rather than telling them things, ask questions. Telling them information, totally. Ask questions to clarify their point. And usually, as they clarify these things, they defeat their own argument. So,
and they're often deflated that way. And that's not necessarily what our aim is, because if you put someone offside, they're just going to still end up calling you the LGBTI bully anyway. But I think if you can make something relatable, you know, even a simple question like, well, if your daughter came to you and said she was a lesbian.
That I was about to say.
Sometimes that's the only question you need to ask people.
Yeah, so often when someone has really negative views, as soon as there is someone, a loved one close to them that identifies, it breaks down that barrier. And so maybe, yeah, it's a really tough one.
We had a few years ago we're saying that civil unions have the same rights, whatever else. A few years ago in Adelaide, a man passed away and his partner did not have any rights at all to working with his remains, essentially. So certainly we don't have equal rights, but with a civil union, I think they were actually married overseas. They still didn't have those rights in Australia.
I had a discussion with some very, very educated people a couple of weeks ago, and they did not know that. They said, but if they've been together long enough, that it's like a de facto relationship. I said, it's not. They have no. Somebody can be, you know, in palliative care or on their deathbed, and their partner has no no rights whatsoever. None. And I don't think people understand that sometimes you've got to find your little in, some little way that can make them go, what? I didn't know that.
You're bringing up little flashbacks from holding the man as you're, as you're talking there, Michelle. You're going to make me all emotional.
Yeah, I cried for the half of that movie, so let's not go there.
Oh, my God. And I cried for the following month. Oh, my boyfriend Lockie wants to watch it again. We feel like we've almost got through the grieving period. And I'm like, you want to enter that again?
Speaking of your boyfriend, you had a family function last week.
We did.
And tell us what it was and whether there was any, whether you had any intrepidation.
So last week, my sister, who is 7 years older than me, got married. So we had a massive family celebration. We had relatives flying from all over the country to come and celebrate. And it was a pretty big deal for me because my family is Catholic. And there is a lot of coming out to my extended family, especially, was really tough. And I came out to my mum and dad 4 years ago, and mum actually only told my grandmother a few days before the wedding.
Would she have not told her, do you think, if you hadn't?
Absolutely. I think, yeah, I think in mum's mind, telling her was a really, really tough thing. But I was like, mum, I had to come out like 40,000 times. You can do it once.
Would you have rather told your grandmother?
It's tough for me because my grandma lives in Adelaide, so I only see her once a year. Mm. And so personally, I said, mum, this is on you. I really want you to do this. But, you know, she found it tough at first. I won't go into details, but she called me 24 hours later and said that she loves me and, you know, I'm still the same grandson. So that was really nice. Mm. But it was overwhelmingly, me and Lockie were just showered with support and, my sister and her partner had a really beautiful line in the wedding ceremony where, you know, they made it really clear that they support equality and that they are waiting for the day that all marriage is seen equal in Australia. So it was a very, very positive day and all of my aunties and uncles were so inclusive and excited to meet him. So that was a really, really uplifting feeling. Mm, yeah. Mm.
Were you concerned at all that anyone might have given you any...
I was, yeah. I was a little bit apprehensive at first, but as soon as we got there and Lockie was handing out the wedding pamphlets and he was just totally thrown into it all, it was a really cool feeling. And when my sister had her first dance and everyone got up to go onto the dance, I was like, oh, my God, do I take Lockie on? Like, two boys can't do that. And I was like, stuff this. So I grabbed him by the hand.
Break the studio. And I did it in Beauty and the Beast, so you can do it at a wedding.
Yeah, exactly. It was so funny, actually, because me and my cousin, my female cousin, jumped on. We had a big circle on the dance floor and we jumped on and we were doing our little dance. And she had caught the bouquet, so she is supposedly the one that's going to get married next. And I grabbed it from her and I threw it into the crowd and I looked over and Lockie grabbed it. He caught it. And so I was like, oh, what does that mean? Who knows? Anyway, we were all in hysterics.
That
pretty cool.
Is Charlie Cooper from Headspace. We will be back shortly. You're on Stand Up Straight.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
We are. Your son? I have never... Wait, I'm so confused.
You talk over the end part, probably.
We play the one every show because Michelle demands it.
But you're not Michelle's son, are you?
Oh, God, no.
Do I look old enough to be like...
I think I look older than Michelle.
Oh, no, what have I got myself into? I'll have to meet... What's your son's name again?
His name's Nelson.
Nelson. Yeah. Why does Nelson come
He's about the same age as well.
As you?
Are you being a Jewish matchmaker?
Well, no, because we've already just talked about Lockie, so I think that would be wrong.
Where did we go? How did we get here?
We never left.
We never left. So, Charlie, what's your title again at Headspace?
So I am a youth advocate. So basically my role is to help Headspace make sure that the young people's experiences and voices, the young people's, I say that so much, that young people's experiences are genuinely heard when they're preparing their campaigns, developing new services, etc. So
you don't work in any of the centres?
No, I don't work in any of the centres.
But you have beforehand?
I work at the national office. So, try and advocate for the young people in my community, and a lot of that for me is advocating for LGBTIQ experiences. And obviously I can only speak for my own experience, but so each Headspace Centre has around 20 young people that they work with to bounce ideas off and ensure that all their initiatives are youth friendly and targeting the needs of the specific community. So it's really cool.
This is an odd question. If anyone's ever seen the Headspace T-shirts, they're this very, very bright lime green. Is there a reason behind that? Do you know?
I actually don't know. I think they literally just tried to choose the most hideously recognisable colour possible, and no other organisation has like a lime, bright lime green.
Well, at colour. Mardi Gras, they were seen very brightly.
Yes.
Weren't they?
They look fabulous. Were you in there?
I was. Lucky and I were front and centre.
I was front and watching, so.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see you though, but that's, yeah.
He was the one in the green t-shirt. Oh,
because Joy was doing the audio cast, right? Clayton. Oh, you were doing it.
I wasn't doing any part of that presentation. I was just over the whole weekend doing background stuff for shows mostly.
We were second last in the parade, so that was pretty cool.
Your float looked great.
When the parade was coming along, I did get a buzz seeing Headspace. So that music means we're nearly at the top of the hour. Tell us one more time, what website for anybody to go to if they need help.
So if you need support, jump onto eheadspace.org.au and you can chat to a mental health clinician online. Otherwise, look out on the Headspace Facebook page and you'll see an update with the next Q Headspace announcement. And yeah, keep in mind Q Headspace needs your support in your local communities, and keep an eye out for us.
Beautiful. As always, an absolute pleasure having you in the studio, Charlie. You do extraordinary amazing work. And thank you, Clayton, across the desk.
You're welcome, Petal.
Thanks, Clayton.
And up next is Family Matters and then The Woods at 9 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. Radiothon's on in a couple of weeks. So Joy, as we know, best radio station in the world. You've been listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.